A stretch of Cherokee Street off Jefferson in South St. Louis has been evolving over the years with a growing number of restaurants and shops and other businesses. The area is now home to the largest concentration of Hispanic, Latino-owned businesses in St. Louis. There's even a festival tomorrow, which will include a special ceremony. And here to discuss that in further detail, please welcome Ann McCullough. She's the director of the Cherokee Street Business Association. Carlos, I'm not sure of your last name.
Restrepo.
Because I just met you in passing a few seconds ago. Restrepo, thank you. He's the membership manager of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And Leticia Seitz is the executive director of an organization called Latinos Acción.
Latinos en Acción.
Uh-huh. And what is that organization, Leticia?
Latinos en Acción is a nonprofit organization, grassroots, and everything is from Latinos to Latinos. We are organizing the community in social justice,
pretty much. Ann, let me ask you, Cherokee Street. We're talking basically Cherokee between Jefferson on the east and Gravois on the west. How do you describe that area today?
Ever-changing. It's evolved since I came onto the street in my position about 5 years ago. It's a lot of things to a lot of people, and it changes on a daily basis. We have a number of different types of businesses, restaurants, art galleries, and at the center, at the core, at California and Cherokee is the Hispanic Latino community that really spurred the growth that happened on Cherokee about 15 to 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. Carlos, do we know how or why that actually happened back at that time?
When it started happening in the late 80s, I don't know exactly why. I do know that immigrant populations tend to follow one another once they find a place that's affordable to live, where you can open a business. And as I've heard, I only lived there shortly, but property was cheap. It was affordable.
It had seen better times. It was sort of a desolate area at some point.
Correct.
Right. And 20 years ago or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. And this opportunity had presented itself, and the Hispanic population has been growing incrementally in that area. So at least we have numbers since the 1990s. Uh-huh.
So we're talking about one street, Cherokee, but we're also talking, it involves a few neighborhoods that border on there where people are living. I think I hear people talk about, is it Dutchtown, Gravois Park, and Benton Park West. Is that a diverse community economically, or what's the makeup of those three neighborhoods?
The beauty of the city and also the beauty of the diversity. We are growing as Latinos. We want to be close to our families and close to our business. And this is the beauty of the part of the city, to have everything close and everything together.
Uh-huh. And so, well, what's happened? There's a festival that you have planned tomorrow and a very special ceremony.
Leticia, you want to, as the festival organizer, speak about the festival?
For us, it's an honor to have this festival because we are celebrating the Mexican Independence Day. That is something that in Mexico, in our country, my hometown, is celebrating with a lot of passion. So we're going to have the head of the Mexican consulate, Mr. Alfonso Navarro, coming from Kansas City to celebrate this, in addition with the celebration of the resignation of the Cherokee Street.
So during the traditional Grito de Dolores, yes,
right? Yes.
It's where, well, you guys can speak on this a little bit better than me, but it's kind of the first start of announcing this cultural designation. We're going to have a lot more festivals and events happening.
And what does a cultural designation really do for an area?
I think it puts it on the map more officially. I think that even when you've seen some other maps from other publications before, they refer to the area as Little Mexico. And we gather businesses together who for a while have wanted to do something just honoring the Hispanic businesses who have spurred this growth on Cherokee Street. What was really neat is that they wanted to do something that wasn't exclusionary. They did not want to call it Little Mexico or Mexican Street or anything like that. They thought the name Calle Cherokee still kept the name of the street, but just kind of gave a nod to the Hispanic residents and business owners who were there.
Uh-huh. I'm sort of curious what brings Latino and Hispanic people to St. Louis in particular. I imagine you all have your own stories without being too detailed. Can you tell me what brought you here, your family here?
For me, it's to know another culture, obviously to learn English, but also to have a better opportunities. We love Mexico. I love Mexico, and always I'm proud to be Mexican, but also I am American citizen, that with my experience, with my story, I can empower my community to grow and create businesses. So this is the beauty part of the of being Latino.
Was it just by chance, though, that it happened to be St. Louis?
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's a big chance for us to grow here.
What about you, Carlos?
So I came in 2005 with my mother from Medellin, Colombia. So it's been about a little over 11 years since we came to the U.S. She married a gentleman who was from St. Louis.
So you were a fairly young guy at the time.
I was 15 years old. Yeah, I was 15 years old. We actually first lived in Baldwin, which before I moved here, I didn't know the Baldwin wasn't quite part of the city of St. Louis. And it surprised me because I was expecting this big metropolis. And, you know, it was a very peaceful place to grow up. But once I discovered South City specifically and Cherokee Street, I found a place where I felt at home. So after graduating college from Webster University, I moved down to the Cherokee Street area because it's where I felt most at home. Even though I'm not of Mexican descent, I'm from Colombia, from South America, there's a lot of similarities, and it's just a great neighborhood to be a part of.
What's your story, Ann?
Well, I came to Cherokee Street about 5.5 years ago, grew up in St. Louis and hadn't really spent much time in the city. And when I moved back here, after I took this position, I fell in love with Cherokee Street. I live on Cherokee Street. I work on Cherokee Street. I pretty much never leave Cherokee Street. It's an amazing community to be a part of.
I'm not real familiar with it. I've been there a few times, but I know over the years I'd always hear about it. And first, I think there was maybe like a people used to talk about a good Mexican restaurant down there, and then all of a sudden there was a little art gallery. And what are some of your favorite businesses down there? What stands out to you?
I love Master Pizza. I love their pizza, but I also love what that business means to the street. They're very socially conscious and contribute a lot more than just their business. Also, my favorite part about Cherokee is Love Bank Park, which is a park that was kind of established 2 years ago when we implemented a basketball hoop there after recognizing a need for more activities and more places for everyone on the street and the fact that most basketball hoops had been removed. We put in a basketball hoop that's used every single day. I watch it from my window.
Mm-hmm. Favorite places or?
All of them. Depends what you want to eat, right? Because if you want to eat different things, everybody has like a specialty. But I loved all of them, especially tacos. Tacos are the best everywhere.
I'm not going to challenge you with that.
And what's unique of Cherokee Street? I mean, I know that Leticia's answer is not just diplomatic, but it's true because you can find different styles of Mexican food along Cherokee Street. And it's not just one variety. Every restaurant has something that they specialize in. Mm-hmm. You can get baked goods. You can go to multiple grocery stores. I can get virtually everything I need just by walking the street.
You know, we talk about, you talk about the contributions that this community has made to, I guess, the St. Louis community. Can you be more specific about what you mean by that?
Well, in general, in St. Louis, the economic contributions have been great to the growth and development of Cherokee Street.
You mean just by developing and running thriving businesses?
Yeah, and also something that's really important and that kind of will help to maintain this culture and population on Cherokee is that predominantly most of the businesses are actually owned. The properties are owned by Hispanic Latino people as well. The social contributions, and I've seen a growth, especially since working with Carlos and Leticia in the past couple of years, I think it's important to celebrate diversity, and I think it's important to bring those cultures together, and Cherokee Street is a place that does that.
You know, in today's political climate, when we're talking about diversity, that seems to be a good positive message to be a proponent of.
And yeah. I feel like it's a microcosm of St. Louis, and it really reflects how things could work out. I believe that is the most diverse neighborhood surrounding Cherokee and all of St. Louis. And when the city of St. Louis is actively losing population, just in the Hispanic side of the population in that area, it grew by 144%. There are people occupying those businesses,
Didn't I read something incredible, like that the population there has increased like 350% in the last 20 years or something?
Right, correct. And we had about 400 families, 400 individuals who were Hispanic living in the area in the 1990s. And data from 2 years ago shows that there's more than 2,000 that live in there.
And how does that word get out? Is it just people telling family members and word of mouth?
There's a lot of places where people gather, like churches. There's a very popular church, Santa Cecilia, where has a very large Hispanic congregation. People tend to spread the word about where they live.
I want you to talk a little bit more about what we can expect tomorrow during the festival, which runs all day, really, from 10 in the morning to 11 at night. But before we do that, you know, the first segment of this program, of course, we dealt with the impact and what's happening following the Jason Stockley being acquitted of first-degree murder charges. And, of course, people are wondering what the community reaction is going to be. Is there going to be any sort of violent reaction or anything unpleasant? So I just have to ask you, is having a festival out in the street tomorrow, the day after this happened, is that any concern to you at all?
Obviously, this is going to impact everybody, not just the festival. But I think that we have the opportunity here to see the Latino community, how organized is and how we can celebrate the Mexican Independence Day. So as an organizer of the festival, we can secure that and be sure that we're going to have everything in place for you to be safe and be even we're going to have an attorney there to help you out if you have any questions. We have the Mexican consulate coming. They're going to have an informational table, and we're going to have, like, security. We're going to have people who is going to take care of the community there. So you might be afraid a little bit, but it's not that way.
We right. And we certainly, you know, don't want to make people fearful about going out. That's a good question for you, Anne. How do you officially address this as part of the business association?
Well, that's something that I think a lot of businesses on Cherokee Street struggle with, being politically active or not. And a lot of the businesses are politically active on Cherokee Street. And that's a risk that they have to take. There have been some repercussions. And I also know that probably a large percentage of the population on Cherokee Street will be heading down to the protest. But I also think that a large portion of the community recognizes the importance of celebrating Mexican independence.
And let's not, you know, be confused. Just because we hear the word protest doesn't mean there's anything negative about it.
Oh, no. Protest
doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't.
Well, in the minutes remaining, let's talk about why we should come down tomorrow between 10 and 11.
Come to celebrate. Come to eat the real Mexican food. Come to eat. Even we're going to have, for first time ever, we're going to have people from Colombia, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, who are going to have their food there, and you can taste that. So for us, we're going to have Alma de Mexico, folkloric dances. We're going to have Masiyacta, who is music for South America. And we're going to have a DJ. We're going to have groups that are going to close the event. So,
is there anything happening, any specific event happening at a particular time we might want to put on our calendar?
Yeah, at 7 p.m., please.
Yes, the announcement and celebration, which Mayor Lida Cruzan, I think, will still be there. The consulate will be there. The Hispanic Latino businesses are going to be coming together. The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Latinos in Acción will all be coming together at 7 p.m. for the official announcement of the cultural designation. But it's an amazing festival to really celebrate the Hispanic Latino community in St. Louis on Cherokee Street and in the region.
And I understand it's all sort of starting today, but eventually you're going to have some signage.
Yes.
That's going to
Yeah, we're working on finding the funding to create a large mural and have a larger celebration and create a plaque in designation.
Mm-hmm. Good, that's great. Well, of all the business people you know down there, are there any interesting stories? Like, has there been somebody there from the beginning? Who's the longest business owner you know of?
I
guess El Torito, right? El Torito and Carlos, I think, the Carnicería Latinoamericana. I have one story that I want to share. As a teacher, I learn. I teach the family of this guy to read and write in Spanish because he never had the chance to go to the school. But his son, who is Hector, was so impressed to have their own business, and he grew and he support his son. So for me to have this family involved in the festival is amazing because it's part of the community and they are very known and among our
community. El Torito?
Yes.
Well, people can certainly go to our website, stlpublicradio.org, and they'll have a link to your website and the festival's website, and people can find out more about that. Leticia, Carlos, and Anne, thank you all for being here. And it seems like it's an exciting day tomorrow, and we wish you much success and continued success.
Thank you so much.
I'm Steve Potter. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.